morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning, well, I'm not joined by Jamie George. She's not with us, folks. If you're going to want to join us, you might have to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player if you want to follow along with our discussion. But I've got some really good listening material right now because on the phone, live from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Senior Bowl, joining me as he did last week for the Shrine Game, I have Pigskin Paul Guillemet on the phone. Paul, how you doing today?
Doing just fine, Brian. How are you folks doing?
I'm doing really good. We're glad to have you on the show once again to talk about some NFL draft prospects. Now, first of all, you're going to have to once again give me the Green Bay Packers report. I know, of course, Ted Thompson and company were in attendance. Were they there?
Yes.
Were they there just as long as last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yesterday morning, Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning, the vast, and I mean vast majority of the NFL personnel people go home, because basically starting yesterday, the teams take the pads back off, and even though there were a couple of spirited practice, one low-key practice yesterday, every team gets videos, probably not videos anymore, probably DVDs of some kind, but everybody gets recordings of the game itself and all of the practices from the Senior Bowl eventually, a week or so after the event. So they figure they've seen enough live, they've interviewed most of the players they want to, but yes, indeed, went out to that practice field yesterday morning for the North practice. Couldn't have been more than a couple hundred people there, including spectators, as opposed to thousands of people, and I'm not exaggerating, earlier in the week. And who's standing right under the south goalposts watching the practice begin but our man Ted Thompson. And then I did indeed see a couple of the other Packer scouts at various points all around the field. I thought this was interesting, Brian. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. As I'm walking around the field, at the other end watching the practice is John Dorsey, longtime Packer and Ted Thompson guy who just became GM of the Chiefs. It was a little strange to see him standing there with the Chiefs hat on, but he and his guys were still there scouting as well.
Was Reggie McKenzie there?
Oh, absolutely. Reggie and Raleigh have been here all week, very, very conspicuous by their presence. Of course, you know, I think they would be here. They were last year when he took over. I think they would be here no matter what. But obviously, the entire Raiders organization is here.
Oh, that's, of course.
Because the coach and his staff are handling the North squad.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Paul, I wanted to pick your brain about a couple prospects there who I think share some similarities. Now, these two guys, they might be very different football players, but they're both foreigners, and they both came to the USA originally to compete collegiately in track and field. You probably know who I'm talking about, the defensive lineman Margus Hunt from Southern Methodist, and the defensive end / outside linebacker Ezekiel Ziggy Ansah of BYU. I've heard these guys haven't had the greatest week of practice, but I wanted to get your thoughts on them.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct from what you have heard and read. No, they haven't. Let's not get carried away. I don't want anybody to think that they don't belong here and that they aren't, I'll even say, significant NFL prospects.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so raw as football players, and they are so undersized from a weight and strength standpoint that, let's just say, if Margus Hunt had not had such an impressive bowl game that he did this year.
Yep.
I think a lot of us would be saying, why was this kid invited? Problem with Margus, besides the fact that he didn't really play football till late high school, coming to the States from, I'm trying to remember, where is he from?
Estonia, I believe.
Ryan, doesn't matter. Eastern European country, that's, we know that much. But when he weighed in Monday, he's tallest guy here. He's 6'8¼". So picture that, folks. Now picture the fact that he only weighs 277 pounds. he's the defensive version of Mike Glennon. Okay, and I call Mike Glennon this week Turkey Wishbone. So picture that in his physique. And because of that, basically, he was swallowed up this week in practices. You know, when the bulk of the work is going to be drill work, and he's going to be asked to go, well, I'll use a local example. He's going to be asked to go in a one-on-one pass blocking drill against Ricky Wagner of Wisconsin. And Ricky's official stats down here this week are, Ricky came in at 6'6⅛", so he's only 2 inches smaller than Hunt. Ricky Wagner weighed 310 pounds, and it's a solid 310 pounds. I spent quite a bit of time with Ricky Wagner this week. And so you get into drill work, and then when they do the running drills, Margus doesn't stand a chance. So he's kind of been the long, tall, lean, invisible man, and anybody that had delusions that he was this pass-rushing phenomenon and this giant squid from the bottom of the ocean that seems to be popping up these days, sorry, it's not there. This guy is going to be a project. As he demonstrated in that bowl game, he's got the talent. The same for Ansa. I would say Ansa isn't as quite a big disadvantage, as Hunt is. Ziggy, surprisingly, he's really long and lean, and he is not as tall as I thought he would be. He is 6'5", and a quarter, 274. So you can see he's 3 inches shorter than Hunt, and he only weighs 3 pounds less. That just and he looks long and thin. These guys are absolutely a work in progress, and I certainly don't see, unless there's a drastic scheme change, not that you were going that way specifically, they certainly don't look like Packer-type prospects.
Okay. The thing that I think about Margus Hunt is he is 26 years old, and I think you see the team like the Packers. Heck, they get rid of these guys at 30. I mean, how much of an investment can you put into a guy like Hunt when you'd only keep him for a few seasons?
Right. Well, and Ansa as well. He's not quite as old as Hunt. But I think by the time the draft, I should have checked this out, but they don't list the birth dates for us, so we have to go researching, and there's so much going on down here. I'll do that after the game. But I think Ansa, by the time the draft starts or by the time camp's open, will be 25. So same thing there. Once again, I think that's a very good observation on your part. For a team like the Packers, who, you know, count on their young players to contribute, they may be willing to take a kid that's a project, and they certainly have done that, because look at how many undrafted rookie free agents make the Packers squad over time. But for them to sit around and try to teach a 26-year-old and a 24-year-old the game, that you have to say that there's limited upside, partly because the age is going to catch up with them. So I would say to you that I personally think Hunt and Ansah are going to not be drafted until the Saturday, starting in the fourth round. I think you're just giving up too much potential with too much work to do to take these guys in the first three rounds. That's just me if I'm picking. But, hey, Brian, I'm the guy that sits down here, and it's been between Tyler Wilson and Mike Glennon as to who's the best quarterback, and good old conservative Pigskin Paul from the old football school can't get past the fact that Tyler Wilson's hands are only 8 5/8 inches long when he spreads from thumb to the end of his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And in a perfect world, the NFL wants guys with 10+. He's got the smallest hands down here.
That's amazing.
And I can't see this guy being able to grip an NFL-sized football if he plays for a team like the Packers and it's 20 degrees and below starting in late November at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
So, you know, other people think that Tyler Wilson's a first rounder, and I can't get past his small hands.
No, I'm there with you. I agree. I mean, not to say he can't be a good quarterback, but at first round material, I'm just not sure you go there. Another guy, of course, Paul. Reading your coverage at the Great Blue North Draft Report, GBNReport.com this week, you wrote about Louisiana Tech wide receiver Quentin Patton. And actually, so did Tyler, the great writer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Tyler Dunn, as well, this week wrote an article on Quentin Patton. You compared him to Packers wide receiver Greg Jennings. So I wanted to bring that up a little bit. And I've just heard Quentin Patton's had a very good week.
Oh, absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, you know, it's a, Brian, let me throw a disclaimer and then we'll get on with business here. Yeah, evaluating these football players, at least just watching them practice like I do. You know, we don't sit in an interview room for an hour like the Packers get to and some of the other things. But, it goes back to an old Shakespearean thing. You know, every eye forms its own beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things that appeal to me in a player, and there are certain things that I think my eyeballs see. And there could be a scout, you know, who's way more experienced and done this forever, who would read something that I would put in there, not that they do, they don't, and just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And say, boy, did that kid fool him. He can't do that.
Yep.
But, yes, I think Quentin Patton reminds me quite a bit of Greg Jennings. He's roughly the same size. He's maybe just a titch bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But Patton came in at 6 feet even, 202 pounds.
Yep.
Now, surprisingly, he didn't have the world's biggest hands. He's 9 1/8 inches on his hands. But that's big enough, and he's a good hands catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He does not use his body a whole lot to catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He relies on running very good patterns, having those good hands, and having very good foot control. You know, he's one of these guys that can very nicely tap 2 feet in on the sideline, where some of these players would be falling all over themselves, to put it bluntly.
Yep.
I think his quickness more than speed, and with the surety and the reliance on the patterns, again, to me, it's a Greg Jennings-type receiver, and that's why I think he fits the Packer mold. And, again, for what it's worth, you know, they're going to need to replace Greg Jennings, because I don't think, you know, from what I've seen down here, as they always say, there's always somebody out there. And a guy like Patton, for the first 4 years of his contract, isn't going to cost the Packers as much as Greg Jennings probably wants now.
Mm-hmm.
In signing bonus and first-year salary. And he'll be 30 when the season starts.
Yep. Yep. Another position I want to take a look at here, and it's almost like a position in general, inside linebacker. The Packers could, I think, perhaps move on from A.J. Hawk finally, not that it's a given, and you know, maybe looking at some guys in the NFL draft. There's a bunch of guys down there in Mobile, and I think this is an underrated inside linebacker class. You've got Vince Williams of Florida State, Arthur Brown of Kansas State, Kasim Green of Rutgers, Nico Johnson from Alabama, Kevin Reddick from North Carolina. What do you think of these guys?
There's a couple guys in there that are quality There's a couple guys in there that are athletes that don't seem to get the job done out on the field, like Reddick from North Carolina.
Okay.
In my mind, Brian, here, I'll tell you why I'm not so hot on him. In my mind, he is a similar player to A.J. Hawk, maybe a little bit more athletic, maybe. But he's a run around and jump on the pile kind of guy.
Okay.
I don't see him making very many plays himself, either in the backfield or out in open space.
Yep.
He's just kind of always around the ball. And to me, that's the problem with A.J. Hawk over the years. He's been a good linebacker, and if he hadn't been in the top 10 picks of the draft, I don't think we'd be quite as critical of him.
True.
You know, I think there are a couple of the guys. I think Vince Williams is a tough player. He's a smart player. He's instinctive. But I don't think, I'm not convinced he's strong enough, as crazy as that sounds, for the way the Packers use their inside backers.
Okay.
He's 6'1", 240, and as far as I can see, he's maxed out, Brian. You know, some of these kids down here are, you know, in the developmental stages, and you can tell or you think from looking at them that they should be able to either gain weight or, you know, improve their 40 time at these performance camps. Other guys, you look at them and you say, ooh, you know, that guy is bulked up as much as he can be. That's my fear with Vince Williams. And 6'1 and 240 can play in the NFL. I'm not excited about the inside backers down here, to be honest with you.
I am.
Not for the Packers. Maybe Nico Johnson, but there you're going to have a lot of work to do because he's been so flip-flopping between outside and inside. But there's a kid that's much more of an athlete. You know, he comes from a tough system at Alabama, so to speak. I'd say of the names you gave me, Nico Johnson would be my first choice if indeed, you know, in his case, can he last long enough to make it worthwhile, or is he going to get overdrafted, which is going to become the big question with a lot of guys. You know, is the Alabama reputation and the numbers he might put up at the combine going to make somebody, you know, make him a early second round pick?
Okay.
And if that's the case, I think it's not somebody that the Packers want. And Arthur Brown, you mentioned, he is just absolutely too small to play inside in the NFL.
Okay.
He's going to have to, in my opinion. Now, again, remember, everything we say is Paul's opinion here. But Arthur Brown is, you know, not a full-size guy.
We got you there, Paul, yet?
Yeah, yes, I am. I heard a click, but I'm still here, I guess. Okay.
And Kasim Green.
He would be an outside backer.
Okay.
He obviously, I wondered if perhaps he might be a candidate for somebody to want to convert to safety. Because coming out of Rutgers, everybody was concerned about his weight because he was listed, and usually the colleges exaggerate, so you really get concerned. But he basically was listed as 6 feet tall and 220 pounds. He's still 6 feet and a half inch tall, but he weighed 236 at the weigh-in here. But I believe he is a weak side linebacker in a 4-3 scheme, which again, depending on where he's available, doesn't mean a team like the Packers couldn't find a way to use him. Hey, Dom Capers has never seen a linebacker he doesn't love.
The tight end position, of course, is going to be dominated by two guys, probably Zach Ertz and Tyler Eifert, first-round guys. But I think as we saw last week at the Shrine game with Zach Sudfeld, there's some guys that could be had later that could be pretty good players. And I think there's another one at Mobile this week, and you can unveil them for me.
Okay. There are, I like the tight end groups down here. My body had a little twitch when you said tight end. because even though there's no Tyler Eifert, and there's no JerMichael Finley down here. There are multiple guys down here, in my opinion, that can block and catch, which obviously is a significant factor, and I think that's what you're driving at here in your comments.
Mm-hmm.
Vance McDonald from Rice got off to the fastest start down here this week. He was just heck on wheels on Monday afternoon. And he's continued. He slowed down a bit. That always happens. When you have somebody that has, you know, the world's greatest practice, chances are against this kind of level of even competition, they're going to have to come back to earth.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, good move on McDonald's part. He got some people's attention right away. And Vance McDonald, 6'4", 262 pounds. Here's the part I love. I don't know what he's going to run for a 40. I think it's going to be average,
mm-hmm,
for a block, you know, for a bigger tight end.
Yep.
I'm sure he's faster than Crabtree, okay? That much I will tell you. The other thing that I really like about McDonald, overall he's had good hands. He has 10-inch hands. And he's also got a 34.5-inch arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, that's really nice. And that 262 pounds, broad-shouldered, very nice kid. I did sit with him and chat, not interview, but chatted at the Monday night Meet the Players. He was in a group of guys that I sat with, including Ricky Wagner. And great personality, outgoing kid. I'll tell you what, the ladies would be happy if the Packers signed, drafted Vance McDonald. Good-looking young man. I think they'd like him a lot. I think that Michael Williams, the big, big tight end from Alabama, I think he's kind of overrated because he's a Crimson Tide player.
Yep.
And I don't think he's the Packers' style anyway. He's a good blocker, but he's got decent hands, but he's not going to get separation, and he really is slow to get. Once he gets started, he's good, but he's not as athletic as you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's much of a candidate. A guy who really came on this week, and by yesterday's practice, was catching an awful lot of balls, getting an awful lot of attention, and it's another guy who didn't play tight end until his junior year in college. He was a defensive lineman, and he didn't get any attention because he played for arguably the worst team in Division I football last year, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Kasa, K-A-S-A. And he, again, another guy that can block, but he's shown this week that he can catch the ball. And if you thought I gave you impressive numbers on Vance McDonald, how about if I said that Nick Case is 6'5.5" and weighs 271 pounds?
Wow.
To me, those two guys, again, depending on the value aspect, those two guys I think could save the Packers from having to keep five tight ends again, because you would have somebody who is a reasonable receiver and someone that you could have blocking once you either have third and short or you're down in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think there could be value, and I would not be shocked. I did not see anything. Ted is still as covert as ever. But I would not be shocked, fine, if either of those two kids were sitting there late in the third round of this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that the Packers would/should have some interest.
Okay. A position the Packers need at least depth at, if nothing else, I think, is offensive tackle. The way Marshall Newhouse just kind of had another average season, with Derek Sherrod's injury putting his status up in the air, Brian Bulaga coming off an injury. Who are some guys, if the Packers wouldn't go grab somebody in the first round, who's somebody they could get on the second day at maybe the offensive line position there?
Well, if you're going to go as early as the second round, there probably, you know, were some guys down here. But it would have to be that early. There was an embarrassment of riches down here this week, and I even joked about it at one of the press conferences on Tuesday, saying that, you know, for the North squad, for instance, for Coach Dennis Allen, my comment to him was, gee, it must be nice that you've got so many quality left tackles down here that you can move Ricky Wagner to right tackle, and you can have Justin Pugh be your backup left tackle. and again, for the draft picks out there, you understand what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think there's a chance, Brian, what I'm getting at here is I think there is a chance, and then, of course, you had, you know, arguably the best player down here this week, the starting left tackle for the North squad, Eric Fisher from Central Michigan, who is, you know, he'd be ideal for Green Bay with their system, but they're not going to get a sniff of him.
Yeah,
he blew it up down here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be first half of the first round unless something goes crazy at the combine.
Yep.
Long, tall, athletic, strong for his size, for his height, and the best part is he's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
He's nasty. He was pancaking people and laying on them and giving them the elbow and, you know, kind of thing you want to see. But I digress. And then on the South squad, you've got Lane Taylor from Oklahoma, who it's overreaction right now, but many, you know, more than a few folks down here are saying, oh, Lane Taylor moved himself into the first round this week. And he did make my all-practice squad for the week
mm-hmm.
at the tackle spot. So you get past those four, and now you get into the late second round, and yes, indeed, you know, there could be a couple of guys, and a couple of guys that weren't even here, that, you know, the Packers could have a shot at, and I'm thinking even the Justin Pugh from Syracuse
mm-hmm.
needs to beef up. But he's a really good athlete, and I don't think Ted's going to shy away just because he's a, quote, underclassman. You noticed in the last few years, Ted's started to draft some underclassmen, but remember, enough, which the Packers like, he's already got his degree,
mm-hmm.
and he's here technically as an underclassman. He might be out there when they pick late in the second round. So, again, there's a chance that some of these guys may fall, and you know the best of them all, just because, or after Fisher, I think he didn't play down here this week because he's got leg injuries. But DJ Fluker from Alabama, and I'll tell you what, probably a lot of people said, yeah, he's too big and slow. He shouldn't have come out. He made a mistake. He should have gone back to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, he got up on his feet. He was here for the weigh-in, and when you're 6'4" and 7'8" and you weigh 355 pounds, and you don't look fat, and you graduated from Alabama in 3.5 years, and your hands are over 10 inches long, and you got an 87-inch wingspan, unless he falls flat on his face at the combine, I'm digressing, DJ Fluker has got to be a top half of the first-round tackle. So I guess what I'm saying is this thing is really deep.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be some project-type guys, and project from the standpoint of not quite being ready to step right in immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid that I like for the Packers to at least look at, if they think he can add a few pounds, is David Quisenberry from San Jose State.
Okay.
He'll be number 76 if some of the folks are going to watch the game tomorrow. He was 6'5", even 294 pounds,
mm-hmm.
which tells me, you know, he probably needs 6 to 10. You know, get up to that 300. He does look relatively thin, but again, his hands are over 10 feet long. He's got 33 7/8 inch long arms. He spent the week playing inside at guard, and other than some of the drills where his lean frame really played against him, he was good. He was good in pass protection, and he was good in run blocking once we got to the 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 type action. He's versatile enough, but again, I think that always appeals to Ted Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be my kind of watch out for this guy to possibly be a Packer if he lasts long enough.
Yep. Can we go rapid fire again on just a couple guys? Just brief thoughts on them. As sticking with the offensive line, Kyle Long, of course, is Howie Long's son. He'll get attention just from that, I know.
Yeah, good athlete. Good athlete. Leaner than you might expect, but then again, Howie relied on speed, not bulk size. I think he's going to stay inside at guard, although his height would indicate, you know, that he might get consideration to tackle. He's definitely second or third round pick if he stays healthy.
Ryan Nassib, the quarterback from Syracuse. Russ Land of the National Football Post thinks he could go number one overall. Is that possible?
Every year I pick on Russ Land because he's the perfect foil. I refer to those kinds of comments from him, and he does it every year. He puts a couple of kids in the first round, and you just go, man, he's just trying to get attention. I refer to that comment as outlandish. Ryan Nassib is a good quarterback. I think he could get into the second round of the draft. I'm not, unless I really needed somebody, I wouldn't be looking at him until the third round.
Okay. So not number one overall.
No, that's an outlandish projection.
Safety TJ McDonald. I saw, who was it? Doug Farrar of Yahoo Sports. Compare him to another Packer, Atari Bigby.
Yeah, that might be. He's significantly bigger than Atari. I'm guessing that what he was referring to in making that comparison would be his aggressive style of play. Unfortunately, he's one of those kids during his college career that his desire to be, you know, he wanted to play. His dad was a tough guy, but his dad had some cover skills. I think TJ McDonald wants to be like his, you know, another former USC guy named Ronnie Lott.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't translate. He wants to hit. In the NFL, he's going to be exposed in coverage.
Yep.
And if he tries to play like he has so far, he's going to be a penalized player. My comment would be, he's not running first string down here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in and of itself, that doesn't mean anything. But by now, it does mean a little bit. And I would say if he gets enough playing time tomorrow, I'd be watching to see if he doesn't get a roughing penalty of some kind. Again, to me, I don't think the Green Bay Packers are looking at TJ McDonald. I wouldn't be.
Another safety I just don't know much about is JJ Wilcox of Georgia. What can you tell me about him?
I can tell you he's doing things down here he should not be able to do for a kid who was a running back a year ago. I think he would be a wonderful fit/project for the Packers if he doesn't skyrocket so far that, you know, he goes beyond what Ted perceives to be the real value.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is a big hitter. He has, I think, incredible ball skills for a guy who didn't play safety till this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that I like about him is he stands 5'11" and 3/8" tall, which is plenty big enough for safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a mighty mite. And he weighs 214 pounds. And he really brings those 214 pounds. I've seen him do some deflections in coverage this week. He's picked off a ball, and he has knocked some people on their hinies. And he's also been back in punt return formation. returning punts.
Wow.
So that combination of running back skill set and natural athleticism, I like him a lot, Brian.
Interesting.
Can you tell?
Yeah, yeah. Paul, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us once again. It's great to have you both at the Shrine Game last week, the Senior Bowl this week, and we'll talk to you again as the draft approaches, I think.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime you would like me or want me, you know, I'll be there for you.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, Paul. You going to be at the game Saturday?
Oh, of course. And by the way, I will bet you a Kool-Aid that Teddy Thompson will still be here, too.
Really? Ah, interesting. Cool. What,
yeah, he was sitting in the front row of the press box last year watching the game.
Cool, cool. Tweet it out if he is.
There you go.
All right. See you, Paul. Take care.
Guys. Stay warm, folks. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Thank you. Paul Guillemette, Pigskin Paul Guillemette of pigskinpaul.com, of gbnreport.com. Joining us here on Railbird Central, as he's done several times, last year giving us the reports from the All-Star Games, this year as well. Great to get his insight. Just a guy you can talk forever with about the NFL draft and these guys who are going to be playing on Sundays soon in the NFL. We're already past 9 o'clock, folks, but I think it was great to talk NFL draft today because, you know, with the attention all on the Super Bowl, not a whole lot of Packers news this week, although a couple big items coming out of the news just recently in that both Donald Driver and Jeff Saturday are mulling retirement. We'll see what happens there. Neither of them have come to like this definitive decision that they're retiring, but we're staying tuned. Apparently decisions on both of them could come as soon as next week here, so we'll find out. With Don, I mean, especially interested in Donald Driver, not to say anything bad about Jeff Saturday, he's just been a Colt most of his career. I think the folks in Indianapolis probably more interested in the, and then the folks in Green Bay probably want to know more about Donald Driver, the Dancing with the Stars champion and the guy who's been with them for more than a decade. But anyway, both of them former Pro Bowlers, careers coming to a close, maybe. Possible they could still be playing in the NFL, but the end is closer than the beginning for both those players, so we're staying tuned. But hey, folks, thanks so much for joining us on a Friday morning. We're taking a week off. We're taking a hiatus. I'm going to be at the Super Bowl in New Orleans next week. I'm still going to be working hard, bringing you as much reading material as possible, but no Railbird Central next week, so... we'll be back the week following that after the Super Bowl. I think we'll be on the day after the Super Bowl, so we'll kind of wrap that up. And then again, focus our attention on the offseason here with the Packers, both the draft and free agency, things like that coming up. So, hey, folks, have a good weekend, all right, everybody? We'll see you later. On behalf of Jamie Jors, who finally tuned in here this morning. Thanks, Jamie. And we'll see you all later. Make sure to stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for your news needs. Anyway, I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see everyone. Go Pack, go.